So my name is José Bové. Listen to health writers if you are concerned about the health of the body politic.
Good evening and welcome to Health Writers on the Air. My name is Steve Blank and I will be your co-host this evening with health writer Mary Moyer.
Hello. Tonight's program is focusing on veterans of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan who are suffering from PTSD. Joining us in the studio are Todd Dennis, a Navy vet who served from 97 to 2003 and a member of the Iraq Veterans Against the War. Also Travis Liana, a Marine vet who served in Iraq from 2008 to 2009.
Also joining us are Jack Nitschke and Andrea Hayes of the University of Wisconsin's Waysmith Center. Jack and Andrea are conducting a study of alternative therapies for post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, with veterans here in Madison.
First, I'm going to turn to Dr. Nitschke and Andrea Hayes to talk to us about their study. What prompted you to do the study focusing on returning combat veterans with physical and mental health issues and the effectiveness of alternative and complementary medicine?
The primary reason that we are we're focusing on the issues that you're talking about is because right now we have a lot of folks that are coming back from the conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan, and people have been coming back now for years, and it is not necessarily an easy thing to assimilate and back into the United States. These guys have made tremendous sacrifices and actually have endured lots of suffering, and we'll maybe hear some about that a little bit later for the two individuals who have actually been there. And so we have a lot of individuals that are coming back that are really in a lot of need to get some help about moving forward. One of the things that happens when people are exposed to trauma, and this can be trauma from being in a war situation, but it also can be other kinds of trauma such as child sexual abuse or domestic violence or rape. And essentially when these types of traumas happened, a good percentage of people that experience this go on to have what's called post-traumatic stress disorder. And this is a disorder that really causes a lot of suffering. It involves high degrees of anxiety. It involves what we call avoidance symptoms. So it's where you are avoiding different types of situations that somehow remind you or trigger things that are related to the trauma, and ends up can be quite debilitating. And so in more extreme circumstances, you have individuals that are suffering to such a major degree that they're actually not able to leave their homes, they're no longer able to go to work. And essentially, this is a treatable disorder, and we have several very good treatments out there for it. The primary treatments that have been used and found to work with PTSD in veterans coming back as well as in other populations are a number of medications. These are called SSRIs. But with these medications, essentially what we're doing is we're getting about a 50% hit rate. It means that we're really helping about 50% of folks that are trying these medications. And then we also have what's called, it's the various forms of what's called exposure-based psychotherapy. And that actually is very effective, but it is very hard to do because what you end up doing in these types of therapy is really going back and reliving in a new safe environment some of the experiences that you had over there. You're talking about it, you're going over, and you're exposing yourself to a lot of the things that are reminding you of what's going on there. And so a lot of folks understandably don't want to do that. So part of what's motivated us to now look into some different treatments is that there are some what we call complementary and alternative methods of treatment that that are a lot more tolerable. And some of these are based in some very, very old traditions, you know, literally that are thousands of years old. One branch is just yoga-based practices, and so that's what we have already done a study with in the laboratory here with people that have come back from Iraq and Afghanistan. And there, what we're finding is that, and essentially it's a focus on different types of breathing. It's an intensive 8-day period. And then there are also some different types of meditation-based practices that are beginning to be explored as well for helping individuals that are coming back.
Can you talk a little bit about the structure of the study and when you started it and how many persons are participating? Andrea.
So this is our first wave of the study. It's going to last about 1 year, but we're expecting it to go beyond that into several years. We're looking for about 60 people returning from Iraq or Afghanistan. And we're going to study the effects of the program by having MRI, magnetic resonance imaging, before and after the program. And maybe Jack can speak a little bit about that, what we're looking for.
Yeah, so that's the area in which I've done a lot of my research. My background is focusing on various anxiety disorders. Post-traumatic stress disorder is one of six major anxiety disorders. I've done a lot of research on a number of those other forms of anxiety. And we're just trying to understand what it is that's going on differently in the brains of people who are really having a lot of trouble with, that are struggling with these various forms of anxiety. And so post-traumatic stress disorder is another obvious place to look. A nice thing about using this pre-treatment and post-treatment design, where we're having a scan before and after they start, is that we can look at what kind of changes are occurring across a very short period. This is an 8-day intensive intervention that they're doing, and it's been documented that there are notable changes in the brain that you can detect across an 8-day period.
Wow. So how are you recruiting veterans to participate?
So we've been going to events for veterans. We've also been emailing lists of veterans that we've made personal contacts with, and we're also hoping to recruit some of you listeners tonight if you are veterans.
Right. And amongst your participants so far, what are the primary ailments they're coming to you with?
A lot of them do suffer from substance abuse or depression, a lot of alcohol abuse, as well as post-traumatic stress disorder that Jack mentioned previously.
Well, let's turn to one of those veterans right now. Todd Dennis, you along with, I don't know, there must have been 30 members from the IVAW, the Iraq Veterans Against the War in Chicago a couple of weeks ago, for the NATO summit. You went there to return your medals by throwing them in the direction of McCormick Place, where the heads of state were meeting. And I was there along with tens of thousands of other people, despite what the media may have claimed about hundreds. There were tens of thousands of people there, and I was recording you as you and the others gave very moving testimonies as to why you were taking this courageous act, throwing your medals back. Let's listen to what you had to say on May 20th in Chicago.
My name is Todd Dennis. I served in the United States Navy. I have PTSD. I'm returning my Navy and Marine Corps Achievement Medal because it was given to me according to my letter, because of hard work and dedication and setting the example. I was a hard worker because I buried my PTSD and overworked myself in the military. And I'm throwing this back and invoking my right to heal.
Todd, you said that you buried your PTSD. What do you mean by that?
Well, first, Steve, there were almost 50 of us that returned our medals to NATO. What I mean by that is I use self-medication, like Andrea was talking about, alcohol, marijuana, to numb myself to the effects of PTSD. And then also in the military, you know, I used work as a coping mechanism by maintaining myself working all the time, coming in during off hours and things like that. I was able to not experience the side effects of PTSD and basically like put it in a box, as other veterans have said they do with their PTSD, and put it out of the way so I didn't have to deal with it.
you also said that you were invoking your right to heal. Do you feel that the Navy or other powers that be, was somebody preventing you from recognizing or dealing with your struggles with PTSD?
Society at large in general, when I was in the military, prevented me from recognizing what I was had and like what I was doing to cope with it before I learned some other techniques, I would say were preventing me. But also as part of invoking my right to heal, during some of the treatments that I do go to, we practice mindfulness techniques, and some of them ask you to think about why you're here as part of that meditation or mindfulness technique. And I want to remember that I'm there invoking my right to heal, to get better and not remember the bad things that might have happened to me and the bad life experiences that happened as a result of my self-medication because of PTSD. And also for the service members that are out there who are unable to get the treatment they need, are being sent back with PTSD, they have a right to heal. And as part of IVW's Operation Recovery, we're invoking that right, and we're encouraging service members to stand up for their rights.
Yeah, I know some service members who have been diagnosed with PTSD by military doctors have come back to the United States and actually been told by top medical directors here in the U.S. that they do not have PTSD, but instead they're suffering from a personality disorder. And this not only makes it impossible for them to get disability compensation or to file a claim, but it also denies them their right to get treatment for PTSD. Do you think that this kind of alternative treatment that the Wasemuth Center is studying can provide a benefit to service members who are not able to file a claim? Will they be able to access this type of treatment?
Yeah, I believe they would be eligible for this treatment. I mean, at one point they were diagnosed with PTSD, and a major incidence of what you were talking about happened at Joint Base Lewis-McChord up in upstate Washington, and they actually fired one of their head medical directors who was overturning those diagnoses and discharging service members as personality disorders instead of with PTSD and with military benefits for what happened to them. And, you know, something like this that is available in their community, I think, could be a great benefit if they're not able to get compensation or even care from the VA system.
Thanks, Todd. You know, I do want to continue this conversation. It's a very important one, and we haven't yet heard from Travis Liana, another veteran who participated in the study.
Thanks, Steve. Just turning back to the conversation, Dr. Nitschke wanted to comment on some of the things we were just talking about with Todd.
Yeah, the two issues I wanted to just to address in what Todd said, because it's just so important. And so the one comment that he referred to is just that he had to box up this PTSD, self-medicate, kind of bury it. And that is happening so frequently. It's not like Todd is some sort of isolated case with regard to that. It has happened very, very frequently. And my view is that it's happening unnecessarily, because we do have ways to be helping these individuals. And these two, this one treatment that we're now starting with, and we're starting another treatment in the fall, are both methods at which we could be reaching more and more of these individuals, so that there is not all this boxing up going. I also just want to make a comment with regard to the issue that was brought up with regard to the PTSD diagnosis, and that's being overturned, and whether people will be, whether those individuals will be able to come to our study. Absolutely, they will be able to. And in our study, what we do is, on the very first visit, is we do a very careful interview where we actually look at what the symptoms are that people are suffering from, and get a real sense of whether they actually indeed do have PTSD or not. Regardless, if there is some suffering going on, we are looking to get them the help that they need.
You know, also I've read that there's research showing that physical brain trauma, concussions, or exposure to bomb blasts actually leads to neurological or physiological changes, which mimic PTSD. I'm just wondering if you can comment on that and how what previously was thought to be primarily a mental health issue may actually be a combination of things or is partly biological as well.
Yeah, so this is something that's very unique about these conflicts is that we now have these, these what are called IEDs, improvised explosive devices, that are these bombs that in part not only do they create destruction for whatever they strike, but they also send off this huge noise blast. So even if you're not hit with it, if you're anywhere close to it, it is rocking your brain and actually potentially causing brain damage. And that's a critical issue that we have to address in the MRI work that we're doing. It is something that we're only now as a field scratching the surface of in terms of understanding what exactly is happening to the brain, how that differs from person to person, and then what you mentioned is how that relates to PTSD. The comment that you made at the end about, maybe this is something physical as opposed to a mental health disorder, and that's a very important aspect of what it is that we're doing. Any type of mental health condition is occurring in the brain. As a result, it has a physical basis as well as a mental basis. And that's a really important thing to understand. And it's not that we just want to say, oh, here's just some sort of abnormality in the brain and like flip over to completely the other side. But it's to appreciate what the symptoms are and what a person is describing as their experience, and also to understand that there is, a relationship with what's going on in the brain that we're trying to understand. The idea is if we can bring this all together, that we can better help to understand PTSD, how to prevent it, as well as how to treat it.
How did you get involved in the Waisman Center study?
I just saw a flyer at the school. Is that at MATC.
And you were suffering from, or struggling with PTSD, I should say, and you thought, maybe this is where I need to turn to get the help I need.
I was never actually diagnosed with PTSD. I had some symptoms with, I guess you call it, emotional numbness. I thought maybe it might help with that, and so I gave it a shot.
And what? Tell us about your involvement. What have you learned, and what are you going to be doing next?
The workshop itself is it worked a lot for me. I'm a person who works by a product of my experience, not by what other people tell me. It's a non-intrusive way to go through this stuff, and I think that's at least for me and other people probably as well. It's a lot better way than, using drugs or other alternative ways. I had such a positive experience with the workshop that I'm actually going to be continuing and teaching this to other veterans, just because I know the transition that I made getting out of the military and dealing with just the general flow of life was difficult for me, so I'm hoping to make it easier for someone else.
Let me turn to Andrea for a moment. Are other organizations, are other university programs paying a lot of attention to the study that you're doing?
Our initial pilot study that Travis was involved in did receive a lot of attention. In fact, there was a Danish film crew which filmed the intervention as well as some of the measures that we collected, and that's actually going to be coming out pretty soon because we did find a lot of really positive and compelling effects from the subjects that we ran. In particular, people really reported sleeping better after the intervention and also improvements in mood.
So Travis, is that something that you found, that you slept better after this?
I slept better, and definitely the mood improvement. I was kind of a cold, distant person, and I've definitely noticed a change in that.
And Todd, are you helping let other veterans know that this is available?
Yeah, I've been helping to try and get veterans, and I helped for the initial study, sending it around to various lists to try and get veterans to sign up to participate in this study. I've done similar workshops to what the practices that are taught during the study, and I assisted when they were doing all the tests before they did the study to make sure that they ran the way they were going to be needed to run.
Travis, I'm wondering what other, if any, support you had coming back to civilian life. If this, through the Weissman Center, was this your primary mode of assistance, or was there other avenues that you were able to?
For me, it was, I kind of looked like I didn't, my approach to it was I didn't need help. It's kind of one of those things where you don't really want to admit that you have one of these things. There are plenty of other avenues out there, I think, for people to get help, but I think a lot of people decide not to take those for whatever reasons. A lot of them is maybe they're too clinical or something like that. This approach for me is a very easy approach to take on, and it wasn't anything too intense.
Andrea, how can people who are listening to this program get involved? Who can they contact?
They can contact the Weissman Center.
Is there a phone number or a URL?
You can go to the website for Center for Investigating Healthy Minds, and our project is on that website. Just Google Center for Investigating Healthy Minds. That's the it's a component of the Weissman Center that is helping to promote and run this study.
Another thing you can do if you're listening out there and you're a veteran and you're interested in this program is you can go to the Health Writers website. I'll have all of this information posted. Our website is healthwriters.wordpress.com, and I'll have this posted tomorrow morning. Jack, do you have any, Jack Nitschke, do you have any final words that you want to say about the study that you're conducting?
I can just share one other piece of what we're doing. One piece of what we're doing, and that is just is some of the objectives that we have for the study. And the primary objective, which I think is, you know, been implicit here, but I'll just make it explicit now, and that is to really help out those individuals who are struggling as they are now returning back to the United States, and they are struggling a lot with PTSD and the types of symptoms that we've been talking about here. And then in addition, the reason, so we could just do that without doing any research. The reason to do the research is that what we can do with research is really start to make improvements long-term down the road so that for future individuals, we're going to have a much better sense for how to go about treating people. So, for example, one of the things that we can do is try to identify in that pre-treatment MRI scan a pattern of brain activity that's associated with a good treatment outcome. And then what we can do is down the road use that information by having somebody come in and you know, in addition to telling us what their symptoms are in an intake session, is have them have an MRI scan and look for particular patterns of brain activity or structural, the structure of the brain, and then use that to say, you know what, 90% of people with the profile that you have actually do very well in response to this yoga breathing type of intervention or this meditation-based intervention.
Jack, we're out of time, I'm afraid, but I really appreciate that summary. It sounds like a fantastic program, and I urge veterans to get involved. And for all of our listeners, to find out more, go log on to our website, healthwriters.wordpress.com. But I want to thank our engineer, Ken Rainier, and his entire Hall of Fame family, the Rainier family, Nina, Anthony, Nick. Thank you for everything that you've done. That's it for Health Writers on the Years.
Please, doctor, I'm damaged. There's a pain where there once was a heart. It's sleeping, it's a fainting.